I wrote on the board family, and I thank God for family. I feel like the Lord has been talking to me about this, and I would like to share some things with us. You know, family is a most blessed thing to have. I had a good family, and I thank God for that. But my mother, and I don't say this to look down on her, she was a wonderful woman, but she never made much profession at all until about 6 months before she died in my life, for the most part. But I loved my mother, and we all here come from different backgrounds. And you know, family means different things to different ones of us this morning. There are those here that have fond memories from the very earliest times. And they remember this place. They remember being with people that cared about them and loved them all the way through. And there are many of us here that know those kind of times. But you know, there are many people today, much more than it was when many of us were young, that don't know what it means to what a family really means. And so what we take for granted, many do not understand. They've never experienced those blessed things that we talk about. And so I want to read a song that's written called The Family of God. And it says, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. Now, I think about God. He thought about those that don't have family. And He made provision for them. And there are many that feel disconnected, feel like they have not a friend. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. God's made provision. He's already been thinking about that. He put some things in His plan to cover that kind of situation, because not all of us had a good mother. Not all of us had a good father. But whatever circumstance we came from, I want to tell you something this morning. There is good news for you and me today. The song says, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You know, to be a joint heir is to be in partnership. And the song says we're joint heirs. Not just with the people of God, but with the Lord Himself. And so it goes on to say, from the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. That's a Gaither song. You know, this morning I think about the things that make up a family and what it is. I have been so amazed at what God Himself puts in the heart of people without them doing anything. In animals, we might call it, what's the word? Instinct. We might call it instinct. But, you know, the Lord puts something within us without us even asking, that if it is not tampered with, it works wonderfully well. He puts within within each member of the family, something that yearns in a way that's unexplainable almost. How could it be that one little child, or three, or five, or ten, or whatever, how could it be that in the heart of a woman is those children and their life, and she'll die for them? How could it be? Because God put something down inside, didn't He? And so God did that also for us as brethren. You look in Luke 2 and 48, and we find there a little clip here of what went on in the life of Jesus when He was young. And he was 12 years old and had went to the temple, and he was about his father's business. This is what he came for, you know. He began to talk to the scribes and the doctors of the law, and he didn't realize that his parents just might be thinking about him. And so he was gone for quite some time. And in verse 48, his mother says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. You know, children sometimes are like that, aren't they? They in the flesh, we're just not matured yet. But this mother's heart, she said, we've been seeking you sorrowing. There's something way down in the heart of family that really cares about someone else. If it hasn't been tampered with bitterness or those things of the world, you know, there's something that God puts down in there for one another, isn't there? That we long for one another. We care deeply about one another. And here, Jesus was missing and his mother was seeking him and his father sorrowing, looking for him. He meant something to them. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You know, when there is natural affection, and that's what God puts in the heart of family. They say blood is thicker than water. There's a reason that's said, isn't there? Because they can have their spats or whatever, but when it's all done and when it's all said and done, they're still brothers, aren't they? You know, that's a true saying. And short of the devil entering in and unnatural affections, we know that the scriptures tell us that in the last days there will be perilous times, very grievous times, where men will be lovers of their own selves, so much so that they lose their natural affection. So much so all about me and all about what I like and I want and what makes me happy, until they can't change those diapers and they can't do those things. Because it's because I'm so, my happiness, my, and not realizing that they're really missing the whole picture of happiness. The whole completion of all that God has made happens in His form, doesn't it? In the way that He has made things. And so this morning, you know, the Clark says of that, without natural affection, he says, without that affection which parents bear to their young and which the young bear to their parents, an affection which is common to every class of animals. Consequently, men without it are worse than brutes. You know, that's what we are to one another. Because, folks, we're part of a family. It's the family of God. We're born into that family. We don't join it by signing a book. We're born into it. And when we're born into it, there's something in this heart that loves everybody. That's just a God-given gift that He puts in the heart. How does it happen? I don't know. I just know it happens. How does it happen that the Lord calls someone to shepherd people and puts in their heart a love that will die young for them? It's because God puts something in there, doesn't He? And so this morning, I want us to think a little bit, folks, about the family of God, about family, about what it means. You know, we find in Proverbs 31, I want to read a little bit there. I know it's Mother's Day and I honor the mothers. This isn't just about mothers, but I'm thinking about the whole picture that God made here. We find here, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price, this is 31 and 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You know what that word virtuous means? It means strength. It means valor. It's talking about someone that bears up to the weight of things and spends their life that way. When you read about the virtuous woman, you see one that it begins by saying, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. You know, I just want to say this morning, I know the world is not seeing this on every hand. There are some very good mothers out there. But, you know, the world is changing, isn't it? This kind of dedication and this kind of strength, valor, and honor is what brings to the next generation that kind of strength, that kind of dedication. They see it lived, and they see it worked with. You know, you drop on down in that, and it says here in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, I've always wondered at that, because it says that as if she's a virtuous woman and her husband is known in... How does this work together? Maybe her husband isn't like that. But you know what? We have a great deal to do with our companion. The strength that we impart to them, the confidence that we have in them, the building up and helping of one another is invaluable in a family. And so this morning, folks, we're part of a family. A family operates in such a way that we can excel, all of us can, if we will. And it goes on to say, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I've known a number of women like this. There's a number right here this morning, and we thank God for that. I just want to challenge us today. You know what? Folks, we're part of a family. It's a precious thing. It's a thing to not see as such great responsibility, but rather to see the value of what we have today. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, folks, we have to work on ourselves, don't we? But this woman did that. And it says, who can find a woman like this? Who can find a woman of such valor and strength that she overcomes her own natural propensities? This woman does. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. You know, I think a lot of times these sisters, these ladies, these mothers that are working like this, feel like they're not doing a very good job. Like, what will I ever make it? But you know what? In the end, a life like that, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now I'm just thinking about this whole picture of family this morning. Not only in a natural family, but of course in the spiritual. You know, in Galatians 4:26, it says, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free." That's talking about the new Jerusalem. That's talking about the church of God. That's talking about God's people. And it says, "Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all." Do you know this morning these same qualities are found in all of God's people, wherever they are? You find these qualities this morning. And so you will notice we say brother and sister around here. Folks, there's a reason that we do that this morning. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. It's free from Satan's bondages and sins. I want to look at another place, because I feel like the Lord gave me a thought, not just about mothers, but about family. And let's look over in Luke, the 15th chapter. All of us probably know of this. Reading Luke 15 and 11. It says, "A certain man had two sons." You know, this morning, it would be really hard to describe what this means. A certain man had two sons. You know, when the natural propensities are there, that thing that God put within us is there. You know how much care you have about your sons? I know many of the fathers here know. We know the nights that we've prayed into the night. We know the nights that we've been concerned. What are they going to do? What kind of decision are they going to make? Are they going to turn from the route that they're taking? You know, we wish that we could just say everybody all the time just does the right thing, but sometimes children don't always do the right thing. And you know what a father does? He still loves them with everything he has. He still thinks about them. And how could you describe such a thing? A certain man had two sons. It's just a little piece of God. Folks, do we know that God himself is the one that told us? He relates a father in the image of God. He relates that work that is done in a home to the work that God does with his children. He's called the Heavenly Father this morning. And it says he had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know, I know of people that have just disinherited their sons. I don't want them to have anything to do because they haven't honored me. But you know what the heart of a father does? Folks, the Lord put these examples in there for us. You know what the heart of a father does? I wonder how many days this man stood out by the road wishing to see his son come home. I wonder how many days his heart was heavy. I would say over and over. I would say again and again, he prayed to God, "Lord, help him to come to the end of his way and come home." You know, that's the heart of a father. That's the heart of the church today. Do you know that we look out upon those with longing, recognizing that here we sit with all the stuff, all the good things, the peace of God in our lives and our homes, the love of people that care enough about us to love us. You know, all of God's people do that, don't they? They all love one another. That's the very most basic thing God puts in his people. And so when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. It's kind of like that out there, isn't it? It's kind of like that. It's a lot like that, in fact. And no man gave unto him. The care, the concern, and the love comes from those that have blood ties. Comes from the father. Comes from the mother. That spends endless energy, whatever it takes. And he said, but there's something that began to change in this guy. And when he came to himself, what a wake up. Here I am. And he came to himself and he realized where he was and he realized something else, where he came from and where he could be. And so it says, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's, the lowest man on the totem pole in my father's house, have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Well, how many of us could say that this morning? Wasn't there a time in many of our lives that we weren't worthy either? But you know what? This man, see, he came from this home and he knew down in his heart, I can go back there. I know what my father, I know what's down in his heart. And so, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Now this man shamed him. He wasted his goods that this father had spent his life earning. And this father, when he saw him, he ran to see him. There wasn't any push off at all. In fact, it says, and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now that didn't make everybody happy, but it made most of them happy. You know what? All of them that had that love that God had put down in there, that's a special blessing that the Lord put in us, a piece of himself, a piece of who God is. That's what the Father thinks. He's looking at you and me with that kind of love. He's longing, and that's why he took the time, pains, and effort to send his son down here for you and I to die in our place. That's the kind of heart that the Father had. And so this morning, I hope that we can get a little bigger picture. I don't know what your father was like. I know what mine was like. I know he loved us. I know if anything happened, he was all worried. I knew my father that way. Was he perfect? Far from it. But I will tell you, I can't claim that either. I had needs as well in my fathering. But you know, this morning, God wants us to know he's been thinking about us. He didn't forget us just because things weren't perfect in our life. The Lord has made another plan. He's made a plan for everyone to come in and to be warmed and to be cared for and to be loved as if not. Well, this son came in and he was loved more than his brother was like, why are you showing him all this attention? That's just paraphrasing. Why are you showing him all this attention when he went out and did what? Oh, you don't understand the love that's in a father's heart. That's in God's heart this morning. He's looking to you and I. And that's what he thinks about it. You know, this morning, that longing, that crying out for, he also puts something in the heart of the children, doesn't he? And so in Galatians 4 and 6, listen to what he wants to put and does put in all his children. It says, and because ye are sons, Galatians 4 and 6, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That word Abba is another word for Father. It's something like, it's a fun term, a crying out, almost a little bit like Daddy. Daddy, Father. And so, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Do you know that the Lord doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities? He sees us come in and he opens his arm. It's called family, folks. And he wants us to do well and prosper in that. How be it? Well, I'll go on from there. In Romans 8 and 15, I want to look at another place. 15 to 17, Romans 8. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Do you know there's a something that happens when a child is born that child has to its parents and the parents have to the child? When it's natural, when we have natural affection, that's what happens. There's bonds that no matter what happens in life, they'll always be there. That's what God does this morning. And so he says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. In this life, folks, we're going to suffer some. Jesus suffered. If we're heirs with him, we're going to suffer a little too for the gospel. Not everybody's going to think we're doing the right thing. But folks, we're heirs with Christ. And when we die, you know we're still heirs with Christ. We're heirs of heaven and all that comes from that. Another place over in 2 Corinthians 16, Jesus said, I'm going to go ahead and read that, 2 Corinthians 16 and 17. Wherefore, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 6 and 17 to 18. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to be mixed up and fellowshipping evil and darkness and works of darkness. He says, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Do you know that the Lord loves that? He made the family and he built it with intention and with intent this morning. And I want to think a little more about the way that a family operates. You know, this morning, there's a world out there that has cheap words for us all the time. Words of flattery. Words of whatever praise. Words that are meaningless. But I will tell you what the people of God are like. Listen to this. Psalms 141 and 5. It says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Do you know this morning that family are people that are true to you? They'll tell you if your shirt needs buttoned up. Hey, you got something on your face. They'll tell you if you're on the train track, hey, the train's coming, get off the track. Because they care. They're family. There's no train coming. Can't you feel the rumble? Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. God's people love one another. They love one another to save a life. They love one another to save one another spiritually. And they love one another. I want to tell you this morning, there's a world that speaks empty flattery. I went in a place one time and the guy complimented me on something I was wearing. And, you know, that's okay. Sometimes we do that and it's a nice thing to do. But, you know, I was going in a store to buy something. That's called flattery. You know, this morning, now there's times that's not flattery, I know that. But in that situation, I believe he was probably trained to do that. I would call that flattery. And you know, this morning, that's not the way family is. Family will tell us, get out of the way. You're going to get run over. That's what family does. It's all love, folks. It's the love of God that's strong enough. I know we fight for our children, don't we? How many times, parents that have had teenage children, how many times have you had to sit down with your children and they didn't want to talk? Many. Is that not true? Many. They didn't want to talk. No, I don't understand. I know you don't understand. That's why we're talking. You know what? You're going to talk because we're not leaving here until you talk. You know what? That's happened a lot of times at our house. I'm not saying I did it all right, but you know what, folks? We love each other, don't we? Folks, we have to give that and we have to take that. And I want to encourage us this morning to recognize the family of God. Family of God loves us, folks. It loves us enough to tell us, button your shirt up. You didn't catch the last two buttons. You know, that's what family does, isn't it? Iron sharpeneth iron. That's Proverbs 27 and 7. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, folks, that's a giving and a taking thing. And I want to encourage us this morning, folks, we're family. We're out for one another. We're not going to let one another fall prey to the enemy if we can stop it. We're not going to let one another get run over. Iron sharpeneth iron. That's something that's happening on two sides. That iron that's sharpening the other iron. And so this morning, I just want to remind us, folks, we're part of a family that's been born again. We love one another. I want to tell you, there isn't anyone here that I don't feel the 100% love for. I pray for you. I hope you pray for me. Folks, we're part of a family. We've been born again. We're going to heaven. Let's go together. Let's let God mold us and shape us. How could you have a closer thing than family? It's as close as it gets. A man and a wife for 60 years, it don't get any closer than that, does it? There's also, that gets pretty close and pretty tight, doesn't it? Yes, it does. It's God's way. It's God's plan. But we've got to open up to it, folks. And I want to encourage us this morning to allow the grace of God that He put in His family to work in our life. If you're that one that's strayed and a long ways from home, folks, family loves you. They love you just like they loved you before you strayed. Folks, if we're on the tracks and about to get run over, family loves you just as much as before or more. And so we pray for one another. You know, the scripture says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Folks, let's get in with the family. Let's walk in step with them. Those that have gone before us are still part of the family. You know, we're going over there. You know, it's not just those here. It's not just those troublesome folks here that we sometimes spar with. You know what? It's the whole family. It's the whole plan. It's the whole thing. And I want to encourage us this morning. There's a family of God. And it's a beautiful thing. You'll notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because there's been a love put in us just like a brother and sister. And we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears. How many times have you prayed before God with a heavy heart for another that you knew had a heavy heart? That's what family does. That's what it's like. The Lord bless each one of us this morning and cause your heart to say, Abba, Father. Oh, Lord, dwell in my heart. Work in my life. Be in my soul. Blend me with you and with your people. Take me to heaven, whatever the cost. Lord, my heart cries, Abba, Father, this morning. The Lord bless us each one. You pray for us.